will call the Highway Transportation Committee meeting to order. And if, do we have a roll call vote, please? Or a roll call for members present?
Vice Chair Trevis?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Representative Abbott?
Here.
Representative Dueling?
Here.
Representative Fern?
Here.
Representative Fleming?
Here.
Representative Galt?
Excused.
Representative Harvey?
Here.
Representative Hinkle?
Here.
Representative Casey Knutson?
Excused.
Representative Marshall?
Here.
Representative Usher?
Here.
Representative Whitman Pena?
Excused.
Here.
Representative Whitman?
Here.
Chair Logie?
Here. I would ask everybody to turn their cell phones off, and if people are wanting to testify, we have a sign-in sheet out by the front door, and please sign that, and be known that your testimony is public record. Anything you say, people will be hearing. So we will open our hearing today. We have House Bill 375, and Representative Nave, would you care to open your bill, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I bring before this committee a simple memorial highway bill at the request of the VFW Post 4762 in Columbus. Douglas Martin Miller was born in 1946 in Cody, Wyoming, and grew up in Absorkey, where his father was the pharmacist and owner of the Absorkey drugstore. He enlisted in the Army ROTC upon entering Eastern Washington University, where he graduated with a BS in biology in 1968. Doug entered service in Vietnam as a second lieutenant medevac pilot flying UH-1 helicopters for the 68th Medical Detachment, 61st Medical Battalion, under the call sign Dustoff 84. While serving his country, Miller earned numerous ribbons and medals, including 4 Bronze Stars. In February 71, Miller was awarded the Silver Star and the rank of captain for evacuating wounded while under enemy fire. After returning from the war, he continued his service with the U.S. Army Reserve and National Guard. Miller flew helicopters for several decades, doing work ranging from helitack firefighting with the U.S. Forest Service, spraying locusts in Mali, Africa, longlining for Billings Flying Service, and operating the help flight for St. Vincent's Hospital in Billings. After opening the Stillwater Chiropractic Service in 83 in Columbus, Miller served as a volunteer firefighter in Absorkey and was the current quartermaster of the Columbus VFW Post. Captain Miller passed away in April of 2020. The section of highway that they have requested that we dedicate is the 14 miles that goes between Columbus and Absorkey. And I request that this committee pass this bill.
Thank you. Do we have any proponents? Do we have any proponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Do we have any opponents? Informational witnesses? Questions from the committee? Seeing none? Oh, yes. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the sponsor.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nave, I'm just wondering, does this individual have some family that resides in Montana still?
I believe his parents have passed, and it was not his family that that requested this. It was the VFW Post that recommended this.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, would you care to close on your bill?
I would just like you to consider that we do a lot of these in Montana. And they're kind of fun to see as you go down the highway, that different people have been memorialized for different things. And this is someone who was very active between Columbus and Absorkey, and really used his military expertise to the benefit of our community and the benefit of the state while he was there. And so for that reason, I would ask you to consider this bill.
Thank you. And that closes the hearing on House Bill 375.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Our next bill will be House Bill 383. Would you care to open on your bill?
I would. I didn't know it was going to be that fast, so I had peanuts in my mouth. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Barry Usher, House District 40, North, Rural, Yellowstone County, and all of Muscle Shell County. I bring House Bill 283 to you. The bill title says most of it. Basically, it right now to ride one of our three-wheeled motorcycles, a trike, or other brands that some have two wheels in the front, one in the back. Ours happens to have two in the back, one in the front. You have to obtain a motorcycle license, a two-wheel motorcycle license. We've asked for years for the Motorcycle Safety Foundation people and those who run it in Montana to come up with a three-wheel motorcycle class, and they have no interest in doing that. Three-wheel motorcycle does not ride the same as a two-wheel, meaning it does not lean, which is probably the biggest safety issue of why you need to, and you don't have to put your feet down. Two reasons why you need to take that class, so you know the difference in how it operates and safety. A lot of my customers and a lot of people for other brands also have never ridden a motorcycle at all. So if they've never ridden a motorcycle at all and they want to get into the sport, and they, because of age or because they have some kind of handicap, they can't pass a motorcycle, two-wheel motorcycle test. So they're restricted. So they either buy the trike, or there's another one that's called the Spider, which is Can-Am's. Those are the two most prevalent right now. You have to pass a two-wheel motorcycle class. They can't do that because of their handicap or because their age. They just can't hold up a bike anymore. And so they just buy the trike and ride it without it, and so they're breaking the law. So this is just basically asking for us to be able to, you know, obviously we can still sell them a motorcycle legally, that trike, but they're already doing it, a lot of customers. So I'm just trying to ask you guys to make it legal what they're already doing. I forget how many years ago it was. Our motorcycle law, actually, you had to have a motorcycle license, a two-wheel motorcycle license endorsement to ride an ATV. We repealed that, got that off, and then last year we got rid of, what's it called, the Slingshot from Polaris. They're three-wheel that you used to have a two-wheel motorcycle license for. So as ridiculous as those were, this is pretty much the same. So this actually passed through the House as an amendment on that same bill last year, and the good senator, when it went back to the Senate, did not agree. Actually, he agreed, but he didn't like the way that I failed to ask his permission to put my amendment on, and so he said he would support it if I brought it as a full bill this year, its own, and he did sign it. So hopefully we can get this through committee and get it on the floor and get it passed so, you know, people that have disabilities or are elderly that want to jump onto three wheels can do that without taking a motorcycle, two-wheel motorcycle test. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any proponents? I don't see any online. I don't see any coming in the door. Do we have any opponents? Do we have any informational witnesses? Do we have questions? Yes, Representative.
Mr. Chair, this is for the sponsor, Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, Representative Whitman.
So I think I probably know the answer to this question, but I just like to have you clarify. You made a statement about a lot of your customers. Could you just elaborate on that for me?
I currently own one Harley-Davidson dealership, and I actually used to own a Can-Am dealership, which has these also, and I actually owned another store that had a host of brands, so that's my business.
Follow-up?
Go ahead.
So you have experience with this and firsthand knowledge with your customers, so it sounds like you've got good experience with it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Yes, Representative Smith.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor, please.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Smith.
Representative Usher, what kind of a license do they have to ride these in?
They have to get a two-wheel motorcycle license.
Now, if this bill passes, follow up?
Go ahead.
If this bill passes, would they have to have a regular automobile license in?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Smith.
Thank you.
Any further questions? I have one for the representative. Since they have to have a motorcycle license, are they able to take the motorcycle test with their three-wheeler?
So what they're doing right now, in some locations, there are no classes, which what we recommend for safety is go take the motorcycle safety class, which is a two-wheel. This is for anybody that wants to get the motorcycle license, not just three wheels. Tell them to go take the class. That way it'll better prepare them because they get the written done and they do a lot of practical stuff, and then they have to go down to motor vehicle and actually do the driving in front of someone, because the motorcycle safety class does not, you can't ride a three-wheel through there, and if they can't ride a two-wheel because of their physical disabilities or age or whatever the reason is, they can go down to motor vehicle. And again, that I know of, it's not written in law, but sometimes the grumpy, I'm sorry, I didn't say that, the lady giving the test may say, I will follow you in a car around the neighborhood and then I'll check you off. She doesn't know they don't know what they're looking for because they've never experienced it. They just don't know. And there's, unlike the two-wheel motorcycle class, the two-wheel motorcycle class has a lot of things that have been proven that are needed for safety-wise. This doesn't have anything. It's basically, they follow you and say, you know, do you know how to turn on? They watch you turn on turn signal, just like you're taking a normal driving test, but they're not on the three-wheeler with you. They're following you in a car. So it's, and again, that's not that I know of rule or law that I've been able to find. It's just they're doing it as a courtesy to get people that license. So realistically, and then they give them a two-wheel motorcycle license endorsement. So legally, those people who have never ridden a two-wheel motorcycle have a motorcycle endorsement, and they're legally allowed to go drive this motorcycle that they may not be safe on. It's just, that's why I said, let's just make it legal what people are already doing.
And Representative Usher, that's why I asked the question, because I know there's quite a difference in riding a two-wheel and the course that they run them through, so they are not really qualifying for the three-wheeler, as you're saying, correct?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Do we have any other questions? Would you care to close on your bill?
Mr. Chair, I think I will. The one thing I forgot while I was sitting here is that last session when I did the amendment, I actually worked with Motor Vehicle Division on crafting the bill the way they wanted it to make sure, not the bill, but the amendment. This time with the new administration, I have sent a copy of this over, asked them to look it over, because they had verbally told me they were going to work with me and support me, and they didn't talk to my bill writer, and they're not here, so I don't know why, but I will have that conversation with the director.
Thank you for coming before us. That ends the hearing on House Bill 383. We have another in-house bill today. Our Vice Chair, Representative Trebus, has House Bill 365. Do you want to open on your bill?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill number 365. I am Representative Jeremy Trebus from House District 26 in Great Falls. This bill, the idea is to remove the regulation and review of taxi services from the Public Service Commission's hands, so it would eliminate that duty from them. It's similar to the bill we heard last week. I think there might be a more holistic way to address all of these motor vehicle type regulations that is under PSC's review. But the point of this bill is to make it so that taxis don't have to go before the PSC to have those rates reviewed. In the bill, I'll just point out a few areas that it changes. When it refers to Class B motor carriers, that's, to my understanding, that's what captures taxis. It's a service that transports persons or property, in this case, persons generally. So line 14 and 15 of page 1, or at least section 1 and then point 1B, strikes out Class B. So that's where that's taken out. And page 2, if you look at lines 13 and 14, says it strikes a proposed schedule of the tariff or rates to be charged to the transportation of passengers, household goods, or both. And then it'd be effective on passage and approval. And one thing just interesting from what I've done on the research of this, there are two different ways that it's an important, semi-important distinction you might want to know. As it would be a little different than the bill we heard last week as far as that service as a Class B carrier. That, I think, is generally the charges or fees from that sort of carrier with the 15-passenger vans and so on for tours, I think, tends to be more of a contract or a charter type thing where you have an advance agreement on the price. Taxis are a little different in that the fare means it's a post-trip pricing, so we see how far you go and then you get charged. So that's might be something to keep in mind as we talk about this. And that's what I have as an overview on this particular bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any proponents? Any proponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Do we have any opponents? Do we have any informational witnesses? Questions from the committee? Representative Usher, was that? Okay. No questions from the committee? I'll ask to the sponsor. Have you talked to PSC at all on any of this? Are they aware of kind of what's going on and what might?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I talked to one member of the PSC, and he seemed to think that was fine. I don't think anybody. I meant to mention this in my opening too. You know, I think the reasoning behind why this was the case where taxis were regulated, it is because they were truly a monopoly, and the PSC tends to regulate monopolies in Montana, so that made sense that they would be a part of the review of the fare and pricing. But now that we have new rideshare-type companies, which I don't believe are regulated, and I think they created a Class E-type code for rideshare companies, I don't think the regulation is quite as necessary these days to make sure that an essential service is fairly priced here in Montana. And so, yes, I talked to one, and he seemed okay with the idea of removing something from their plate.
Do we have any other questions from the committee? Would you care to close?
Can I just say I close? Thank you for your time.
You can.
Thank you. Quick and easy.
That closes the hearing on House Bill 365. The next bill will be House Joint Resolution number 10, and Representative Smith will be taking the helm here. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. This, my name is Denley Logie. It's L-O-G-E, and House Joint Resolution number 10. And basically what this resolution does, it's to assess and prepare for the operation of autonomous vehicles in Montana roadways. What we're seeing coming down the pike, as you say, are autonomous vehicles. They're entering into the workforce, and they're also entering into people driving down the highway. Right now, there are some autonomous features on some of the vehicles that will beep and let you know if you're getting too close to another lane, or they will slow the vehicle down if you approach too close. But we're coming to the point where there may be completely autonomous vehicles that will drive themselves. And we have to be prepared for those. Get in gear. I know people hate to hear the word regulations, but we are going to have to get some regulations out there to control some of the use of these autonomous vehicles. We have, if you think about a drunk driver, gets into an autonomous vehicle and the vehicle wrecks. Who's responsible? Is it the manufacturer of the vehicle? Is it the manufacturer of the autonomous technology? Is it the driver that gets in the vehicle? We also have some semi-trucks right now. We heard about this 2 years ago even, that they platoon, come through Montana, and the lead truck and trailer will have a driver, and the second or third truck will follow the route of the first truck with no driver. We have to consider when we would want to allow those. If it would be in a snowstorm, we have to consider the passing, safe passing distance, or the amount of space those vehicles leave between themselves for the traveling public. So all of these are the kind of things that there are some rules, federal rules, that are coming into play, but Montana is distinctly different, and we have to come up with some of the rules ourselves, and we need to involve people from MDT. We need to involve people from the industry, trucking industry, the auto industry, insurance industry, and get together all of these people and set up some guidelines. This past fall, I tried to set up a meeting, and we did have a little discussion with representatives from all of those fields. But it was something I couldn't put together and make a bill. There's just too much information and too many things that need to be discussed to set up regulations without spending a little more time. So I thought if we had an interim study, now we have a transportation interim committee, be the perfect place to try and set up the study and get some guidelines and maybe bring a good bill next session. So that's why I'm proposing this as a study bill. Thank you.
Are there any proponents for the bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Iverson, I-V-E-R-S-O-N, representing AAA, the Motor Club. AAA stands in support of this bill. As the sponsor mentioned, there's a lot of complicating things that need to get figured out related to AVs and our roadways. This is the right way to do this. Take a deep dive into it. AAA stands ready to help out and provide information. We have experts around the country that can help be a part of this study and help it be successful. So for that, we support it. Thank you.
Is there any more proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, I'm Dwayne Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, and I represent the Motor Carriers of Montana. And the sponsor, myself, along with others, have had quite a few discussions on this, both in my previous job at MDT and in my current role here. And at a conference a couple years ago, a futurist speaker got up and says that the transportation in the next 10 years is going to change more than it has the past 100 years. Now, that was a couple years ago, and maybe we haven't seen quite as much change this last couple years, but if in fact he's correct, that's going to be pretty amazing here. This next 10 years is going to change more than it has the past 100 years. And another interesting story, and I don't know if I have this quite right, but it kind of goes to what the sponsor mentioned about alcohol and driving. But there was a situation in California where a gentleman was in an automated vehicle driving, talking on the phone. And in, maybe in California, you're not supposed to talk on your phone when you drive. Well, anyways, he got pulled over, and the officer wrote him a ticket. Well, the judge threw it out because he wasn't driving, because the car was driving. So that's kind of the same type thing that the sponsor mentioned with the DUI. Whose fault is it if you're drunk and you're in an automated car? Is it the driver's responsibility or the car's responsibility? Also, that we heard about platooning, and from the commercial vehicle side, we're pretty interested in the platooning. There's maybe just a little bit of a snafu in Montana law to not allow that right now, and so maybe that can help correct that. This can help initiate any type of laws that can help with that. And I did notice that as an informational witness, Carol Strizich from the Department of Transportation is on, and I know the Department of Transportation has already done a lot of research in this area that may be beneficial. So, thank you.
Any other proponents? Is there anybody on the computer?
Mr. Chair, I have two proponents online.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John McDonald. Last name is spelled M-A-C, capital D-O-N-A-L-D. I'm here today on behalf of the Alliance for Automotive Innovation. The Alliance represents manufacturers that currently produce about 99% of the cars and light trucks sold in the U.S. In addition to the manufacturers, the Alliance includes original equipment suppliers, technology providers, and other automotive-related companies. We want to thank Representative Logie for bringing this legislation, and in particular for agreeing to bring it this session as a study bill, because as already been mentioned by a couple of the proponents, this is an issue that deserves and needs to be examined in detail to determine, among other things, that we're on the same page when it comes to how we define automated vehicles, as well as defining what roles there are for federal, state, and local governments. And just for background, the Alliance and the manufacturers have adopted the definitions of vehicle automation that were set out by the Society for Automotive Engineers. And the Society defines six levels of driving automation that range from level zero, which is a fully manual vehicle, a vehicle that doesn't have anything, including braking capability, all the way up to level 5, which is a fully autonomous vehicle and one that needs no human intervention. And fully autonomous vehicles are undergoing some testing in a number of pockets around the world, but none of those are yet available to the general public. And the reality is we're probably still a few years away from that, and particularly in Montana. And the challenges aren't just on the technological side, as was mentioned by the sponsor. Some of these are environmental. Obviously, there are legal challenges, legislative challenges, and even, to be honest, philosophical challenges. So the auto manufacturers and the alliance, we welcome the opportunity to be involved as Montana joins other states that are looking more closely at this issue. We'll be available to offer expertise on the technical side, discuss the benefits, limits, and quite honestly, the realities of vehicle automation, and again, the regulation that naturally is going to come with that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be available for any questions. And again, we'd like to thank the sponsor for bringing this legislation.
Is there another person on the line? You go ahead and speak.
Hi, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is S.K. Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, here on behalf of the cities of Bozeman and Missoula in support of HJ-10. Also wanted to give a quick word of support on behalf of Kelly Lynch from the League of Cities and Towns who couldn't attend the hearing today. We think the HJ-10 is a good vehicle, pun intended, for making sure that Montana is ready for AVs when AVs are ready for Montana. And the League of Cities and Towns will be a willing and happy participant in that study. And we ask you for a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Any opposition? Is anybody out in the hall? Anybody online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Would you like to close, Representative? Info.
Mr. Chair, I have one informational witness online.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chairman, committee members, my name is Carol Strizich, spelled S-T-R-I-Z-I-C-H. I'm the acting rail transit and planning administrator at the Department of Transportation. I'm here as an informational witness and available for questions.
Thank you. Is there any questions for from the committee? Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, a question for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair. You and I have had conversations about this, and my concern is more of today before this. And can you advise? I'm sure it'll be a topic of this study bill, but what is the status of current liability in the state of Montana right now with autonomous vehicles?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure the lawyers are probably would try to figure that out, because right now even we have those vehicles that will slow themselves down or want to bump over in the lane a little bit. I would just personally, I would say it's still the driver's responsibility. But and then the autonomous or the platooning really isn't supposed to happen unless they do call. They've made some special arrangements. They came through before, but there's this safe distance of following, and that liability would be the same right now as it is. But possibly Ms. Strizich may have a little more information on that, the legal liability right now of some of the cars before we come up with the right rules. Is that kind of the question?
Mr. Chair, I guess that is the case of why we need this from the conversations we had. I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from the committee? Would you like close?
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I think you can see the need. There are some real questions, and that liability question that was asked is one of the reasons why we have to sort this out. So the lawyers don't have to, for one of the reasons. But I think the safety, too. We have to have these things figured out. Are you really driving the vehicle, or what's going to happen? And it's coming fast. It's not here totally yet, but we're going to see in the day. And I think they've got some little vehicles. The work around, maybe it was the airports, sometimes they work already on their own, and I think we're going to be seeing it come on the highway. So this is just a way to get ready, and let's set up some good guidelines for safety of all traveling public. Thank you.
That closes the hearing on HG10, excuse me.
Committee, I put on the board we were going to do executive action on turn the other way. House Bill 207 and 267. We'll start with 207. And what I brought the bill sponsor in because there was some work that has been done. This isn't opening up a hearing. It is not. But if you have some questions that he might be able to answer for us, he's done some work in the background, I know, since we had the hearing. And it's been a little while, so I thought I'd bring him in to answer the questions. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass on House Bill 207. Is there... Oh, that's...
Thank you. And I believe we have... Is it one amendment? Mr. Carroll, would you care to go through the amendment in relation to the bill, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Is that 207.1.1?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 207 deleted the requirement that there be four amber signal lights and four red signal lamps, number four, and then provided that a school bus could have additional lamps. And so what 207.1.1 does is it clarifies that four is going to be the minimum number of amber lamps and minimum number of red lamps, and that you have to have at least two amber on the back and front and two red on the back and front of a school bus. So instead of just deleting that number four, it says four is the minimum. School buses can have more lamps than four. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move amendment to House Bill 207, number 207.1.1.
Do we have any discussion on the amendment? Or any questions?
Question?
The question has been called. We'll just take a voice vote on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes. Did we have some proxies?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Representatives Casey Knutson and Galt vote aye by proxy.
I one's online, and so it is.
You need Abbott.
Oh. Yes, on Abbott.
Abbott is aye by proxy.
Yes, for Whiteman Pena.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, motion carries unanimously.
Okay, the amendment carries.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 207 as amended.
You heard the motion for 207 as amended. Do we have any discussion?
Question?
The question has been called. Voice vote, I think we can take on this one as well. All those in favor of House Bill 207 as amended, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? And proxies?
Mr. Chair, Representative Casey Knutson and Galt vote aye by proxy.
Mr. Chair, motion carries unanimously.
House Bill 207 has been passed in transportation. We'll move on to the floor. Now we will move on to House Bill 267.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 267 do pass.
And House Bill 267 is the stop arm.
Oh, amendments.
And we do have an amendment on 267. Two amendments.
So there's one amendment, I see the other.
Pardon me?
I see the one.
It's on the. No, there's one. Mr. Chair, Joe, did I need to print off both amendments or just this one?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there were two amendments that were drafted and posted online, 267.1.1 and 267.1.3. I think what you've got coming around is 267.1.3. And I was advised by my colleague, Laura Sankey-Kipe, who drafted these amendments, that the two amendment sets do the same thing, except 267.1.3 has a provision about effective dates that would make the extension arm requirement effective July 1, 2022 to give more time to comply with the arm extension requirements. And so I directed that 0.1.3 be made available to the committee. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, a clarification for Joe. Mr. Chair, Joe, you just said a requirement, and I was under the understanding that this was going to be voluntary, and I guess we were allowing this to happen on certain vehicles that need it for their area. Did I misunderstand something there based on what you said?
You know, let me review, Mr. Chairman, Representative, let me review the amendment, and I'll speak again in a minute once I have an answer. Thank you.
I wasn't on the amendment. I was on the bill before the amendment's being moved.
Yeah, the amendment hasn't been moved yet, so.
I wasn't talking about the amendment.
Right.
I was talking about
correct.
The bill.
And your question was to not be required on the bill.
Correct. That was my understanding, is that this was not a requirement, that some schools wanted to be allowed to do this, and they were going to figure out how to pay for it, and this was just us allowing, not requiring every school bus in the state to have this.
Yes.
Did I completely miss something?
You did not miss something,
okay.
But I think
Joe just mentioned required, and that was my only question.
And it states that on the amendment, but I think this might be one of the time, if you want to ask the sponsor on a discussion that took place.
The sponsor's a little hostile to me today, so.
Well, Well, we'll get wrapped around the front axle instead of the back one on this. And I know I was part of some of the discussion on that. And initially it was, the requirement wasn't necessarily there. I think partly where it went to the amendment part was the superintendent of schools and the school boards for consistency and safety throughout the state felt that there needed to be a little more clarification in it. Does that address your concern?
So you're saying that you're talking about the amendment now?
Well, I'm talking, yes, the initial bill, they were concerned on the initial bill. That's what I'm getting at. Further question on that?
Not until we get to the amendment, I guess. Okay. Mr. Chair?
Sir? Mr. Chair, I move House Bill Amendment 267.1.3.
Would you like further review on the amendment now from Mr. Carroll?
Please. Absolutely.
Please. Now you can go through the full amendment, Mr. Carroll.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, okay, so we've moved 267.1.3. There are a few changes that this amendment makes. It changes the word highway to roadway in a few instances. It changes the length specification for extension arm. In the original bill, it provided that the extender arm would be between 24 and 48 inches, and this provides that it will be 36 inches, and it changes reporting requirements. I think in the original bill, it essentially makes anybody who observes an accident involving a child exiting a school bus, it makes them a mandatory reporter, and this does not make that so. It changes it so a person can report such a thing. And regarding the extension arms, the way that I read the bill, an extension arm isn't necessarily necessary. It is necessary if children are going to be exiting the bus and crossing a roadway, but if the bus route is designed in such a way that children do not have to cross a roadway after exiting the bus, then the extender arm would not be required. And I'm reading that in subsection 5 of 61-8-351, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. And I believe the wording in that amendment for the specified certain routes, that was why there was a certain routes may not need to stop traffic. It might be more dangerous, and the school bus would rather pull off the road, and that's why it's not necessarily required on every route if it meets certain specifications. And we had a fiscal note. Oh, okay. We did not. Yes, Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, do we need a new fiscal note after the amendment?
We should. It will change because it will add more buses than probably initially thought. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I guess since we have him in the room, can I ask a question of the sponsor?
Yes, you may. That's why he's here.
Mr. Chairman?
I say we're not opening up a hearing, but this he's more attuned to this amendment.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Durham, following Representative Usher's question, I'm not seeing where this amendment clarifies whether this new larger stop arm will be required or not. I don't see that in this particular amendment. Can you help me find it?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Harvey. It's page 4, line 7. When a school bus route includes a bus stop that requires a school child to cross a roadway, that would be the qualifying factor, whether or not the stop arm was required, whether or not the child crossed the roadway.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Any further questions? Yes, Representative.
So I guess I'm kind of, Mr. Chair, I'm kind of, I guess, with Representative Usher. In the title, it looks like it says requiring use of extended stop arms. So I'm still a little confused if this is required. It would be Representative.
It would be the way, and what he just read in that on page 4, it would be required on certain roads. It would not be required on every road.
But the title is kind of
You would have to have that in the title. If you're going to require it on those specific roads, you still have to have that in the title so that it allows it to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I see a lot of kind of furrowed brows on this one. We can hold off if you want to take a time and go through the amendments yourself and come back Wednesday and do an EA if that would work. Yes, Representative Usher.
I'm a substitute motion to pass consideration today.
Thank you. Substitute. Pardon me?
It's not two motions on top. I substituted, so one of them I'm substituting.
You're substituting over the top of the amendment one.
Right.
Yeah. So we can, that can happen. So we'll take a voice vote, I think we can do on that.
Or you could do without objection.
We can do, I'll just do the voice vote. All those in favor of delaying.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have proxies.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Casey Knutson and Representative Galt vote aye by proxy.
Representative Abbott, yes, by proxy.
Mr. Chair, motion carries unanimously.
Okay, we will take a look at this one on Wednesday. It might take your folder with you if you want to study a little bit. I put on the board House Joint Resolution 10 could be in question for today if you want to do an EA on that.
Mr. Chair, I just have a quick question on 267. If we are passing today, will we have the fiscal note on Wednesday?
I can request. I'm not sure. They say it'll take when you do a revised fiscal note, it may not come in time. We can pass again till next Monday if we need to. Would the committee care to do House Joint Resolution 10? Fairly simple.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass on HJ 10.
I have a motion for due pass. Do we have any discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Representative Usher, what was?
I was just going to mention, I didn't know if I was going to be a yes or no, and I hate to be that bad guy, but it seems like not, and no disrespect for this person is, it used to be if someone died in the line of duty, whether they were an
officer.
We're
on HJ 10.
Huh?
HJ 10.
Oh. Sorry, that's the other one.
So, although, well, we had proxies yet, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Casey Knutson votes aye by proxy, and Representative Galt votes aye by proxy.
Representative Abbott goes by aye by proxy.
Motion carries unanimously.
HJ 10 will move on to the floor. We did have the other one today if we want to carry it through, or do we want to wait and do that one on Wednesday? I'll leave it up to the committee to make that choice. Just yes. What I didn't hear.
Representative Fern has.
Oh, Representative Fern.
Thank you, Chair. I would be comfortable doing it today. And could I just make a comment on that bill, or should I wait till it's moved?
You can make a comment.
My only comment, and I support this bill. I mean, this might seem odd, but it's covering 14 miles between Columbus and Mzorki. I just wonder if it should be cut in half in a weird way to give someone an opportunity, if ever arises, to go the opposite direction. That's my only little concern.
I think what I'll do is entertain the motion for the bill, and then we'll have a better discussion. Motion to pass.
Those three.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 375.
Is there a discussion on the bill, Representative Usher?
Sure. So what I started to say when I was on the wrong bill is it just seems to me, and I'll probably, I don't know if I'll be a yes or not, but it used to be that, you know, if you died in line of duty, whether it was an officer, a firefighter, or someone serving in the military that was distinguished, died in line of duty, though, is when we did these highways, and it just... you know, again, not to disrespect this person and his family. He served honorably, and then he went on to civilian life to continue to do great things. And I think there's probably people in this room that have done great things in their life. We've got a firefighter sitting there, professional firefighter, and, you know, you've been a snowplow driver serving the people of Montana. And, you know, I just think if we continue to do this for people that have not died in the line of duty, like what used to be precedence, then we're going to run out of roads, or, you know, it's going to cost us millions of dollars in signs if we keep doing this. That's just my two cents.
Representative Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I feel a lot of the same precedence as Representative Usher. I also find concern with this, and we ran into this situation last session. There was zero testimony on this particular bill, so I have concerns about if the people of Columbus actually want this, or the people that live in that region. I feel it's too quick. I would like to get some questions answered on, you know, was this guy truly liked in the area? And did they feel this is an honor to be bestowed on them? That's a question we didn't have the ability to get answered because nobody was here.
Yes, Representative Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll say this. I do carry some of the concerns that Representative Usher has, along with Representative Harvey. However, having served in the military and knowing what a dust-off helicopter pilot goes through to evacuate wounded, much respect. I'm leaning towards yes on this.
Representative Fleming.
Yes, Chairman. I have some concerns, too. Last session, we had a lot of these bills right towards the end, and I'm not saying they're not deserving. I just wish we had some kind of protocols more in place, and maybe I wish I'd run a study bill, maybe something on this, because we're getting more and more of these, it seems to me. And it's not that they don't deserve them, but they need a special place. I mean, you can't have every part of the road, you know, in Montana. And I agree with Representative Harvey. I'm not questioning anybody's story or anything like that, but we found out last session there was, I think, what, Scalcohol Pass or something like that we were doing, and the people up there in that area didn't even want that named after anybody. They, you know, they looked at it as a scenic place, and they thought it'd take away from that, and we didn't. You know, I can't remember exactly what we did on it, but there are some problems with these, and you know, I don't know the best way to try and clean these up, but I think we're going to keep seeing them and seeing them and seeing them, and we've got to figure out some way to get some protocols in place. That's my feeling.
Yes, Representative Smith.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I agree with the last speakers that we should take and set a protocol up. You know, if we start honoring everybody that flies helicopters, we're going to have no roads at all. We can get away with the numbers. So that's kind of the way I feel.
I'd like to put my input in too, if you don't mind. I feel like we set a precedence on some of the law enforcement people that are killed in the line of duty, and I think that's very important because they're on the highways. But I think a lot of local communities have a lot of local heroes, and maybe we have to start setting the precedence that we're not going to put the local heroes on the highway and let them put them in the parks in town. That's my thoughts on it. I know she said the VFW was in favor of this and really respected the fellow, and I think maybe that's a better place to show that respect in a park in town. That's my thoughts on this. Yeah. Any other? Yes, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I agree with you. I think after a while, the specialty of a highway being named when you've got, like the other representative said, every 100 feet you've got another one, it takes that specialty out of it. And so then suddenly it's not special anymore for those that are there. So I would agree. I think that there's other areas that we could honor the lives and the service of others. So I would agree with that.
Representative Rusher.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to table House Bill 375.
Representative Fern, I didn't see your hand quite in time. I'll let you talk before.
That's a non-debatable motion.
I know, but I didn't. I glanced by his hand.
You can have it right just in a moment, Representative Usher. What I was going to say is possibly we could construct a committee bill that defines and sets some parameters for naming these roads. And so moving on, we actually have something to follow. I mean, obviously that can be put together by an individual for next time, but it almost sounds like the sooner the better. We can establish some criteria. And I really think it also needs to involve a department one way or the other, so that there's always a department witness coming forward to talk a little bit about this. But that's just my thoughts. I think I can't disagree with what's been said so far. We certainly need some more guidance on this.
Great thoughts. And we had a motion, substitute motion to table. So I'll, can we just do a voice vote on the tabling? All those say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And proxies?
Representative Casey Knutson votes aye by proxy, and Representative Galt votes aye by proxy.
Representative Abbott votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chair, motion carries 14-1.
14-1. So we have tabled House Bill 375. We can do 365. We got plenty of time. That's the other one we heard today. We have to work on a couple of the other bills, but 365, that Representative Trebus. I should have caught you before you put it in your folder.
Mr. Chair, I move a due pass on House Bill 365, and there's a fiscal note to be passed around at this point, if that's okay.
while we're passing this around, I was going to ask, I was hoping maybe next Wednesday, or if we have an open day, I would try to set up a little field trip over to the highway department shop if people would be interested in looking at the snow plows and the equipment and maybe around the office over there. You might get to sit in one. So I'll set that up if you would like that. We'll see how many other bills come this way.
It's cold like it's been. I don't.
Chairman Logie, may I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Because I'm Zooming from the chambers, two questions, and maybe for Mr. Carroll. Would you tell me what the fiscal note is, what the bottom line is? And secondly, would you just give the briefest scenario, a review of what this bill will do? Thank you.
House Bill 365. It's the one we heard today from Representative Trebus. Mr. Carroll, do you have a brief review of it? I know we're catching a little off.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to pull up the fiscal note, but I'm having some trouble with my internet, and I wasn't involved in drafting this bill, so I might try to defer the question to Representative Trebus, who might have a better handle on it.
I can redirect it to anyone in the committee who would like to answer that question. Thanks.
Go ahead, Representative Trebus.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. To answer the question on the fiscal note, I was just looking for the updated one online as well, but bottom line is zero impact in any fiscal year. Description of fiscal impact is HB 365 has no fiscal impact to the Montana Department of Transportation and could have a slight positive fiscal impact to Public Service Commission. And the assumptions are that it eliminates references to Class B carriers within PSC regulations and the need for supplying a proposed schedule of tariffs or rates. Does that answer everything, or did you need anything else?
Would you say what the last sentence you said is basically what the bill is doing is just removing tariffs and fees from Class B vehicles in relationship with the Public Service Commission?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative, correct.
Thank you.
The question has been called. All those in favor of House Bill 365, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Proxies?
Mr. Chair, Representative Knutson votes aye by proxy, and Representative Galt votes aye by proxy.
Representative Abbott votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chair, motion carries unanimously.
House Bill 365 will be moved on to the floor. I probably am done adding bills for today, right? We will, Wednesday we will meet again. Wednesday we have a hearing. We'll take executive action also on the bill we set aside, so you can do a little more studying on. So. We can do executive action on that today, if you. All right, I got too many papers here in front of me. So, you want executive action on 383?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move a due pass on House Bill 383.
See what happens when you bring it up. Do we have a discussion on House Bill 383? That's the motorcycle license endorsement, three-wheel. Yes, question. Representative. I had a question. I had Representative Whitman first.
I'll just make a quick comment, Mr. Chair. I just think this is a good way to address this concern, and I would support it.
Question has been called. All those in favor of House Bill 383, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Proxies?
Mr. Chair, Representative Galt votes aye by proxy. Representative Casey Knutson votes aye by proxy.
Representative Abbott votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chair, motion carries unanimously.
House Bill 383 moves on to the floor. Now, but this calls the Department of Transportation hearing committee to a close.
I'm going to ask that we officially work on that committee bill. I mean, if we've got two-thirds, that's all we need to get it out of here, and somebody needs to work on it, though, and you as the chair would have to direct our staff to do that.
I'll get together with
Representative Fern, and we'll come up with a few ideas, and we can run it by.
I'd be happy to work with the chairman on that, and we'll involve Mr. Carroll and get some history on this, see if we can improve things.
And we still have, there's some question going on. One of the bills that we tabled was revised the tow truck laws. That one, we're having a little trouble. That's Representative Malone's bill. There's some legal issues of whether it's needed or not needed, and one group is saying it is, and one group is saying it's not. So I've been working on that.
And there was another accident.
And that's a different tow bill, and that bill we should be taking executive action on that on Wednesday. That was Representative Fitzgerald's bill, House Bill 264.
I was wondering, since we eliminated Class B license and ESC, how many other vehicles was in there?
I can't give that answer, but I do know there were some ideas on Representative Funk's bill, too, that maybe we needed to dip into those, and I don't know if somebody was going to work with her on that, Representative Usher or Representative Trebus.
The two of us kind of talked to her a little bit, and it has helped. We didn't have to do much more, but it seemed like she didn't want to do any work.
Well,
and it was like, well, me and Trebus aren't going to do it for you.
Well, and that's we could take executive action on that on Wednesday too, if there's something going to be done. But we need a little bit of work on it. I thought it seemed that way, but we'll see what comes on Wednesday on that. So, adjourned.